Welcome to Roundtable Talks here on RNIB Connect Radio, where blind and partially sighted people from all walks of life come together to discuss a big topic. And on the agenda today is the topic of gift giving. Getting a great gift can make you feel like you're appreciated, but getting a not so good gift makes you wonder if the person giving you said gift even knows who you are. Which gifts do blind and partially sighted people love receiving? Which gifts do quickly get donated into a charity shop? Well, today we have a panel of great gift givers to discuss just that. My name is Hubert Pavelkovich, one of your panel members and your moderator, and I am joined by two guests. First, I am joined by Ken Reed, who's been diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa in his early 20s, following an early life with no sight loss. 40 years on, Ken has hardly any residual vision, with light and dark perception and the ability to see shapes if the light is right. After retiring on medical grounds, Ken splits his time between his various hobbies, which include walking in the Scottish hills with his partner, listening to music, using RNIB's talking books and braille services. Ken is also a volunteer at the RNIB, and he has been involved in many parts of the organisation, including fundraising, public speaking, strategic planning, and chairing the Scotland Committee. Joining us also is Alison Bates, who works as an advisor in assistive technology and is passionate about making the blind and partially sighted community more inclusive. Alison enjoys travelling, going to concerts, and documenting her experiences on TikTok. Ken and Alison, welcome to you both. Let's start the conversation with a bit of a highlight when it comes to gift giving. Ken, what would you say is the best gift you have received?
Goodness me. Well, actually, I haven't quite got it yet. And I am getting a new tandem. And it's a gift from my partner, and I will be getting it a week on Saturday. And I don't know whether it's the best gift. It's certainly the best current gift, the most recent gift I've had involvement. It's a fantastic thing because it's made to measure. I'm quite tall, and tandems aren't made for tall people. So getting one that's made to fit me is going to be so good.
What would be the first route that you're going to take on your tandem?
Well, to the nearest coffee shop for cake and coffee, of course.
Sounds ideal to me. Alison, how about you? What would be your kind of gift highlight? What's the best kind of gift you've had?
Concert tickets and time, they go hand in hand. So somebody booking a show, doesn't matter if it's something to my taste or theirs, it's about that shared experience.
So you'd say kind of, it's not about who you go and see, but it's that kind of social experience of doing something with friends. Something that I've done a lot for people is, I'm happy to go to a concert which I may not enjoy myself, but I know someone who I'm giving it to will enjoy it, so therefore it kind of adds to that experience.
That, and sometimes it might be something that a band that was around 20 or 30 years ago that you've got a shared memory of, just a song, and then just to book tickets on the random, just, you know, even the smallest venue, it doesn't really matter where it is, it's kind of who you're there with.
Definitely agree with that. I think, you know, I've done that with friends before, certainly, and it's quite a nice feeling, really, to see that enjoyment of someone receiving a gift that they like, rather, and that what you're providing to someone is making them smile. So I'm going to flip this round a bit, and let's go for kind of, what's the worst gift you have received that made you kind of raise your eyes and go,
In some ways, the list is huge and just inappropriate, because they don't understand what it's like to live with sight loss. And it's scary because I don't know who's going to be listening to this.
Yes, be very careful.
Yeah, I know. And this one's quite safe because lots of people did it to me. I mean, I've been listening to talking books for an awful long time. Can't remember when I first started. And thought, oh, that's nice. We'll give you talking books. But talking books from RNIB Library through in formats for blind and partially sighted people, that's great. But those are all free. I can get those anytime I like. So getting given a box of CDs with a talking book on it, and I have no idea which ends up and all the rest of it. I just think, oh, thanks. That's really kind, but it's going to be really difficult for me to make use of it, and I'll need somebody to tell me which CD to put in next, and I'll have to find an old-fashioned CD player, and the old-fashioned CD players can't be speeded up, so I'll have to listen to it at standard speed, and I like to listen to my talking books fast, and I think that's probably the one that makes my heart sink most.
I have to empathize with you there, because actually I was gifted something by a family member once, which again, you know, their thoughts has gone into it. They, you know, I had a family member who knows I love my books and knows that I have, at the time, recently learned Braille and gained a Braille qualification. And I can read Braille, but I wouldn't say I'm fluent enough that I can read Braille and enjoy a book, enjoy a story at the same time, because I concentrate so hard on figuring out the Braille. So not only I got a few short stories in Braille, there were also Braille books in another language, which added more interest to the whole situation.
It certainly would for me, as I'm not sure I'm good enough in any other language to cope with Braille or audio. I'm similar. I'm a later learner of Braille, but again, it's all library based, so I can download anything I like onto my Braille reader and just get on with it. So Braille, I don't have enough bookshelves to store Braille in the house, and it's very well intentioned. So that's why I'm a bit scared, to just in case friends and family who might have gifted me those sort of things are listening, but. Ideally, I just stick with a library.
I think for me, because originally I was born in Poland and I can speak Polish, but I certainly can't read Polish Braille, which I had no idea, because I've studied English Braille. That's the only thing I knew. So when someone said, "Oh, here's a book in Polish in Braille," I looked at it and went, "Yeah, I won't be able to read that." So I felt really bad, because I appreciate the effort, but. Yeah. Can't make use of it, and I think that's where the kind of problem lies. I think I still got them somewhere in the house. Yeah, Alison, let's come to you. Any particular odd gifts / worst gifts you've received?
So two come to mind. I think the worst gift I ever received was a magnifying glass, which you think, oh, that's fine because you're low vision. But they bought me a magnifying glass without finding out if I needed one, if I'd benefit from it, and also they've got different levels of magnification, so there's a bit of a process to find the right one. But they just saw it and said they thought of me, and then that can add to the whole feeling of, well, that's all you see then is, you know, the sight loss. And, you know, and then I think the actual worst gift I had was actually the most thoughtful gift I had, but it was the feelings it gave me. So at Christmas, and let's hope my mum's not listening to this, because it really upset her, my reaction, but she bought me a really old Winnie the Pooh book that I could read to my children. I mean, my children are teenagers now, and I can't read print very easily. So the look on my face as I opened this book of the equal, really, really thoughtful, but equally having to be confront with that, the reality that, well, I actually can't read this to anybody, but my whole family were watching me expectantly. So sometimes what can feel like the most thoughtful gift, not understanding like the, you know, the emotional ramifications it could have on the, oh, well, actually, I'm not going to be able to read this. I'm not going to be able to, it's just going to sit on a bookshelf. And what my mum hadn't realised at the time is that me getting rid of my bookshelves with all of my books on had been a big process for me. And it was, I have nowhere to put this now. So it's just going to sit under my bed, possibly gathering dust with the other books that I can't quite get rid of, but I know that I won't actually be able to read ever again.
One of these hard situations, because especially when everyone's watching you open that gift and everyone's anticipating a great reaction from you, and when you can't give them that, well, you know it's not purposefully done, but you still kind of can't really appreciate it. I mean, have you been faced with that situation, Ken?
Well, not so much quite that, but what that puts in mind is the whole receiving journey is really can be quite uncomfortable. And you're sitting there, somebody puts it in your hand and says, here you are, happy Christmas, happy birthday, whatever it is. And you think, great, lovely, and feel it and think, okay, it's hard or it's squidgy or whatever it may happen to be, and unwrap it and hand it back and say, what is it? And it's such an anticlimactic moment of the gifting process that they've gone to a lot of effort to buy it and to wrap it and to present it to me. And the first thing I have to do is hand it back and say, tell me what it is. I find that is really, yeah, I mean, as you were saying, it's quite an emotional thing, Alison, that the way it's hard to receive a gift because you don't know what you're getting.
And the other part is, yeah, when I go, do you want to guess what this is? And you go through this process of throwing items out to people, going, is it this? Is it this? And the disappointment just mounts, going, no, that's not that.
I really wanted a big check. Is it a big check?
Yeah, big check for £1,000. Woo! Thank well, you.
These days, of course, people say, what's a check? But that is
Well, and of course, I think we all probably got Christmas socks at any point 1 year.
No.
What do you mean?
Well, I have had socks for Christmas, but as you said in the intro, one of my hobbies is walking in the hills. I need socks. I go through a lot of socks. So get socks is good.
Socks is good. It's just like when you're given, I think one Christmas, I was given like a selection. There was chocolate, there was aftershave, some deodorant, and in the middle of that, there was a bunch of red Christmas socks with snowmen on them. And it's like, it's a great gift, but I'm not going to exactly be wearing these in the summer. I'll be rocking snowmen on my feet when it's 28 degrees, which, again, thoughtful gift, but yeah, these socks are now hidden away. Let's talk about a different concept when it comes to gifts and kind of what happens when your sight loss changes. Do the gifts change?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I was sighted up until my mid-20s. Then I've had progressive sight loss since then. And folk now say it really is so hard to know what to buy a blind person. The sort of regular things like books and pictures, all the rest, they don't work for a blind person. Never mind your red Christmas socks, but clothes. I'm quite careful with my clothes anyway, because it's a tactile experience choosing what to wear. So it's something I like to select for myself, and people know that I like to select my own clothes. So I can then go to the wardrobe and pick it out and say, I know exactly what I've got here. So buying stuff for me, it's very difficult. And I have got lots of hobbies, and there's lots of things that go with those hobbies, but getting, you know, I've also got most of the stuff that goes with them. I'm far too old for getting new stuff like that. So it's tough, and I don't make it easier for folk when they say, what do you want for Christmas? I don't know. Yeah, I'm useless. Really hard person to buy gifts for.
I know what you mean, because I've actually gone to the stage where I have put in a hard ban on people buying me clothes for gifts, because, like you say, it's a personal experience. It's that tactile experience. And also, people don't always know your sizes. I think I got a T-shirt with characters and phrases from one of my favourite TV shows, Friday Night Dinner, and me and a few other people could have fitted into that. And it's like...
It's maybe for okay. After Friday Night Dinner?
Proper after a few Friday Night Dinners, I'd say. Alison, how about you? What kind of experiences you've had throughout your sightless journey with your gifts that you received?
I mean, I'm a really awkward person anyway. When I won't, if I want something, I'll typically just go out and get it myself. I'm not the most diplomatic of people when it comes to receiving things. And again, even like a compliment, I'd struggle with receiving that. Throw me an insult or buy me a joke present. That's kind of where I'm most comfortable. But I do find that, you know, put the female spin on it, the easiest thing people think to buy for us women is chocolates or flowers. And to me, they're the worst things to buy. So I actively avoid things like Valentine's and Mother's Day, because I don't want those gifts that people are buying everybody. They don't feel like a gift. It feels more of somebody was obliged to participate in events, so they've just gone and bought something. Typically, I find I've been registered as blind just for 2 years, but have experienced significant sight loss over the last 7 years. And I found that people are scared to buy me things, and they'll say, oh, I didn't want to get you anything because I didn't know what to get you, which I do prefer that, which I suppose some people might think you wouldn't want that, but I appreciate the honesty, because I know I'm very difficult to buy for. But I do commend people that are brave enough to try, and even better when they get it right, because often I don't know what the right thing is. They just turn up with something like, oh yeah, that's exactly what I needed. Yes, brilliant.
When it happens, it's great, isn't it? Yeah, I'll need to introduce you to my partner one day, Alison, because she doesn't like chocolates or flowers for presents either.
I do have a female friend of mine who also hates receiving flowers. She kind of goes to me, what's the point when they die in a few days? There's no point to giving that. So,
well, I think they're all show, no content. That's it. It's just something that's a bit extravagant. You know, they can be big, they can be, you know, blossoming beautiful, but actually it doesn't mean anything. There's nothing left afterwards.
And unless they smell quite nice, it's purely a visual experience, really.
Mm.
Let's talk about giving gifts, and let's go to the other end of the spectrum then.
Yeah.
How do you choose your gifts? Everyone has different ways of choosing gifts for people. Ken, what would be your strategy? Do you have a strategy when it comes to choosing gifts for people?
Yeah, panic.
And, okay.
After I've panicked, unfortunately, I've got a very small range of people for whom gifting is something that would be done on a regular basis. You know, it's really difficult. I don't get inspired by seeing what that person, the people use, or what looks a bit worn out, or what they could do to replace. So it's difficult to get inspired watching them operating to say, that'd be a great gift to get that person. The other thing is, you're walking through shops and browsing, window shopping and all the rest. Again, there's no way I can get inspired. I can't see anything. I only see light and dark, so I'm not going to spot anything in a shop. Occasionally I'll get, you know, advertising pops up on my Facebook page and think that might lead me to some sort of gifting ideas. But getting the ideas is so tricky. The actual shopping, I don't mind. That can be done if I've got the ideas. So I tend to keep notes. So if there's two gifting opportunities in the year, Christmas and birthday, then I'll keep notes between them, and so that if somebody drops any sort of a hint, I'll type it into a secret file on my computer that's double password protected, just in case they listen to this later.
I was so worried I'm the only one that does this, but I'm really glad I'm not the one that has that kind of note with people's names and the ideas of gifts that they've dropped hints for next to them. You have provided me the relief, Ken, I have to say. Alison, is your approach similar, or do you have different strategies?
Well, part of just my typical coping strategy is to get to know every single situation I'm in and get to know everybody. So I do find that I'll have remembered something incredibly random about somebody. It happens to be, you know, a time that I'd give them a gift. And often I get the surprise, how do you know this about me that I like this? And I've just made a mental note at some point. And, you know, it's never anything particularly extravagant. Sometimes it's, they might have said to you 5 years ago they like a particular chocolate bar and that's what I've got them. Like, go back to earlier, best gift is time. It might just be, I'm not going to give them a literal gift. It's more, right, we're going to go out, we'll have some lunch, and that's on me.
Great gift, I like that.
It is that shared experience, but I do also like people's genuine surprise that their friends or family actually pay attention to them. It's odd how people find that really surprising. Now, there's buying gifts, which is fair enough, but how about crafting gifts? You know, do any of you actually make your own gifts for people that add that personal touch that you have? Ken, do you do that?
For years, I have created mixtapes, compilation CDs, call it what you will. I go through my music and I select songs, and I do this every Christmas, and I make a collection of songs that fit the year in some way. Whatever has happened to me or happened to the world, or it started off with CDs, but now it's a playlist on Spotify. And then I send that to lots of friends at Christmas. Then when friends have big birthdays, I make one that's specifically for them based on their habits and hobbies and interests, and try and match up what they may be interested in. So my partner's keen on gardening, so I made one about gardening for her. She likes horses as well, so I did one about horses. And it's great fun digging around into the world of music to find tracks that fit this particular theme.
Alison, how about you? Are you a crafty person when it comes to gifts?
Not crafty when it comes to gift giving, but creative. I quite like baking. If it was anybody's occasion, I'd find out their favourite flavour and just create a bunch of cupcakes, because I found even with my low vision, I could still decorate a cupcake and make it look like I hadn't decorated it. But no, when it comes to like making things, not really. Just, I find the more effort I put into something, the more time, the worse it looks. So I just find planning ahead early is best for me, and just picking something out or baking. Baking always wins.
Absolutely. Baking is a good one. I mean, for me, crafting gifts, I always kind of, my big concern is if I spend a lot of time crafting a gift of some sort and then they don't like it, it's like, well, that's all that work gone to waste, really. I mean, the only crafting I've done ever is for one of my friends I once bought. It was in lockdown and I had no idea what to get them. So I thought, I know, I'll send them a box full of their favourite things. So we included their favourite crisps, sweets, favourite drinks. And I thought that's probably the closest I got to crafting. And it was quite a mission. I treated that as quite a mission because it involved me going to various different shops at the time, where going to shops wasn't probably the easiest task, and going to different websites to buy things. And, well, I did succeed, which was the silver lining. But let's focus on, I mentioned shops. Let's talk about kind of, do you have a one favourite or preferred accessible place to buy gifts? Ken, do you have a particular favourite destination to pick your gifts or buy them?
I don't, no. Do most of my shopping online, but walking around shops, going into Edinburgh, walking around shops is now a nightmare for me. So I don't go physically shopping. So I do most of it online. I personally don't like the Big A company. So I will try and avoid using them if I can. And I'll use other websites, and many are available. But yeah, that's when I do encounter the inaccessible website issue. And it's really frustrating when you're trying to buy and the website's inaccessible, and then you have to ask for somebody's help. And if the person who's available happens to the person for whom the gift was intended, that's really, that is quite upsetting, that. So it can be quite a stressful occasion, is trying to buy the gifts.
I had one of my friends once ask me, are you going to buy me every single gift off Amazon? And on one hand, I thought, well, it works, it's convenient, and you can get it delivered then. And also, if gift wrapping is not your forte, which it certainly isn't in my case, you can get them gift wrapped on Amazon also. Yeah, you might have to pay a little bit extra, but you pay extra for convenience sometimes.
And it has to be said, their website is accessible, so they win on that one. It's not very usable, but it's accessible.
I think that's one of these things. Sometimes you have to go for convenience, and it may not be, the best option sometimes, but it's convenient and accessible. Alison, what about you? Are you an online shopping person? Do you prefer to go to a physical shop to buy gifts?
Much prefer to go to the physical shop, even though it's tiring. I will consider that I've failed at Christmas shopping if I've had to do more than 5% of it online. And that's mainly because I quite like to get up close and feel what I'm buying, make choices that way, where I try to avoid Amazon just to make, that's my little stand at Christmas. I'm not spending any money there. I do the rest of the year. But I quite like walking around the shops. I like the social interaction of it as well. And then when you're not quite sure what to get, sometimes, you just allow yourself to go to the smaller shops, get a bit of inspiration. And I've kind of got it down to a little art form now. I'll have one day, 2 weeks before Christmas, that's it. I go in, most of it's done in a day, and if I can carry it home, that's it done.
Let's talk about gifting mishaps then. Let's get a bit of comedy into this. What happened when you got someone a gift and it didn't go quite right for some reason, or it went spectacularly wrong, or just it was just genuinely quite funny? Ken, have you got one?
Well, it wasn't me giving, it was me receiving. My mother used to always store cardboard boxes because she thought they'd be useful. And she quite often used them for packing Christmas presents. And you never knew what was going to be inside it. Take the wrapping paper off, there's the box. But don't worry, that's not the gift. The gift is inside the box and you have to delve into it. I was still sighted at the time. Unwrapped the box and it was an electric kettle. I said, well, at least it won't be an electric kettle because I don't need one of those, and that's fine. Opened the box and inside was an electric kettle. And me and my big mouth, and right in front of my mother, who was there sitting in front of me.
What was your mother's reaction to that?
There were several people around the room, and it was an awkward, embarrassing silence. Why do you not want a kettle? Because I've got a kettle. I used a whistling kettle on the hob at that time, and I didn't want an electric kettle. I was very happy with my whistling kettle. It was quite quirky and fun.
I mean, the whistling kettle has a bit of that old-fashioned feel to it. I find them quite amusing still.
One where I've received, any female listeners will know, the Pandora-sized box that you may receive. I'd received one a few years previously. I don't like showy things, so I was there opening this box, bracing myself, ready to react again. Oh, thank you so much for this Pandora, whatever it is. Opened it and then just put it down and moved on to the next gift really, really quickly. It was only about 3 or 4 days later I realised it was actually some AirPods. It was the exact same size box, and my husband, he clocked that I thought it was something different. I hadn't even looked at it. And he played a game of, do you like your gift then? Is it really nice? Yeah, yeah, it's great. He knew I hadn't even looked at it.
I can see the mistake because the boxes are similar.
They are the exact same size. I did have to break it to him that I'd probably lost the previous one he'd bought me. I just, I just don't do jewellery. It's not me. It's too showy and flashy for me. So I'm very easy to buy for. Concert tickets, not jewellery.
Or flowers or chocolate.
Well, exactly. But one of the things that I managed to embarrass myself buying a gift, I was just in a shop, a novelty shop, I need to point, need to be careful about how I word this, in a novelty shop in Brighton, and I picked something up and I did not know what it was, and I'm reading out the instructions, and it's only when I'm halfway going, why does it need loads of speeds? Oh, okay.
This is a
I'm just going to leave the shop now, dying of embarrassment. But I was in a shop that sold novelty cards, as far as I was aware. And now every time I walk past that place, I just can't bring myself to go back in.
At least you can laugh about it. You know, you walk past it every time, it brings back that memory.
Yeah, and at least you can't see my red face through the radio.
I think one of my favourite gifting mishaps, I had a chat with one of my friends and she said to me, I really love these retro strawberries and cream boiled sweets. You know, I went, let's go, let's get her some. I was coming to visit her and drop off for her Christmas and birthday present. I was like, I'll get this. Type in strawberries and cream boiled sweets. You know, I tap on them, go, the name's there. Surely that's what it is. I don't need to worry about anything else. Tap add to basket, tap proceed to checkout, purchase, there we go. Postman delivers, and I'm like, no, that's a very big box. What transpired is that although I read the name of the product, what I missed out was that it was a 3-kilogram bag of them. There's some interesting mishaps there. Mm. So to finish off, let's kind of talk about your number one gift-giving tip that you could have for others. Ken, let's go to you.
I definitely hark back to my strategy. Listen to people. Listen to them throughout the year and have a note.
Ken, you are being dangerously sensible. They're asking people to pay attention. Dear, oh dear. Alison, what about you? What's your tip?
Well, if you can't afford an all-inclusive holiday to Mauritius for your best friend or your partner, then I'd say ask them what they want. Don't be afraid. It doesn't have to be a surprise. It doesn't actually have to be extravagant. It doesn't always have to be the best present. It just has to be something that they either want, need, or are going to use.
Yes, I agree with Ken's notes because I do exactly the same. Plan ahead a bit, you know, listen to people, then you won't have to kind of panic. But another little tip, and this is kind of A, for giving gifts, but also to help people who want to buy you gifts. And I've always have this. Have a list of 3 default items that you'll always be happy with that people may kind of, well, 3 or 2 default items that if people give you, you know, it's always a safe, kind of safe bet gift idea. So for me, I always say, if you get me some aftershave or some chocolate, more often than not, unless you really get it wrong, you'll probably make me happy. And I think that always helps. It's something that if you don't mind having lots of it gifted to you by people, then, you know, that's fine. It's like, I'm not going to complain if someone gets me a lot of chocolate for Christmas or birthday and a few bottles of aftershave. That works for me. Well, this is it for our gift-giving roundtable. Hopefully you have gotten some tips and some laughs along the way with some comedy and some other ideas. Thank you so much, Alison Bates and Ken Reed, for joining me for this roundtable here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.